Before we read from Daniel chapter 1, I'd like us to consider a couple of verses first. Now, as has been true for the last few nights, I like to direct these evening meetings at the younger people. Well, the younger people have a soft spot in my heart because I feel like we have to stick together, right? We do. And so I want these evening ones to be for us. So before we get into Daniel, though, I'd like to remind us of two verses in Proverbs. The first verse is Proverbs 14:15 that says, "The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps." The idea is a prudent person is going to be looking at where he's going and paying attention, but considering his steps well means thinking ahead. Proverbs 22:3 reads as follows, "A prudent man foresees evil," that means like calamity, "and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." The idea there, again, is that the wise, the prudent person is able to look ahead and predict. Now, this message can have various titles. I have one up here that I'm going to give, but then I'll give a couple of alternate titles, and you get to pick the one that you like the best. Title number one is Living Deliberately. Living Deliberately. This is stolen from some crazy poet somewhere, or I don't know if he was a poet. Is Thoreau a poet? I don't know. Anyway, he's this Walden guy that lived out on his own, and I don't know, he ate raisins for the rest of his life or something, and got in touch with nature, and said, "I've determined to live deliberately," or something like that. So I don't know much about him. You can tell I'm not a big fan, but I took that phrase, living deliberately, meaning that he decided ahead of time how he wanted to live. He thought it out and decided ahead of time how he wanted to live. And I like that thought because it's a biblical one. A prudent man foresees calamity and hides himself. He looks ahead. He thinks about what's coming. Another title that you might want to use is Predict and Prepare. If you're into that kind of a, you know, thinking, you know, predict and prepare. Another possible title is going to be Convictions That Work. Now, you're going to find out why that might be a title later on, because we're going to talk about developing convictions in a certain manner. Now, I'll tell you that in a moment. So, there you go. Living deliberately, predict and prepare, or convictions that work. Afterwards, you can maybe we can have a big vote, and you can, you know, we'll change the title for good or something. Anyway, but there are some areas of life where we need to develop a special kind of bright line personal conviction to aid us in living deliberately. And we're going to see this bright line kind of conviction in a little bit. Now, in Daniel chapter 1, let's look down at verse 8. You remember now Daniel's gotten taken away from his home and thrown into the University of Babylon. Verse 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank." So, do you remember yesterday we talked about the fact that our convictions can sometimes be invisible when we're growing up? They can be invisible because if we're growing up in a Christian household, whether we have a conviction to go to church or not have a conviction to go to church, our actions are the same. Every Sunday we go to church because we're taken there. We don't have a choice a lot of times. And a lot of convictions are like that. You can't tell whether a young person has these convictions because the family decisions have already been made and the child is just going to go along with it whether they have the conviction themselves or not. And sometimes the convictions appear later. Now, Daniel was a person who dwelt in his home back in the land of Judah, in Jerusalem, I believe, and he is taken away now, taken out of his household setting, probably about 15 years old, and put into the University of Babylon. Now, there were two kinds of slaves back then. Now, I've made up these terms. There are blue-collar slaves, and there are white-collar slaves. A blue-collar slave is the kind of slave that does the manual hard labor, you know, lifting up stones and carrying them over somewhere else, or breaking stones, or you know, just building things, back-breaking labor sometimes. The white-collar slaves are also used, and Babylon had need for engineers. They had need for accountants. They had need for people to help in city planning. They had all kinds of needs for white-collar slaves as well. And Daniel, because he was bright, was going to be a white-collar slave. So let's see what happens to him. Verse 3, the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. So Daniel was one of these. He's going to be appointed to do special service for the king. So yes, he's a slave. Yes, he's in bondage, but he's not going to be doing the backbreaking work. They're going to use his mind to do work. Verse 5. King appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so at the end of the time they might serve before the king. You see how he was put into the University of Babylon. Just like our university settings today, he was given 3 years of training, according to verse 5. 3 years of training for them, just like our university systems today, which is the typical amount of time that we spend in getting an undergraduate degree. You see how relevant the Bible is, right? 3 years of training, that's typical, I think. So, okay. 4. There are people saying the Bible is wrong, I think. 4. The Bible, they think, must not be relevant today. Well, now, there you go, there you go. Do you think that these people at the University of Babylon got summers off? No, they didn't get summers off. So in our education, to get a bachelor's, which is normally 4 years, we go 4 years, but we get summers off. That means we really are going 3/4 of a year each year. So if you multiply 4 by 3/4 of a year, how many years do you get?
3.
Exactly as the Bible says. The Bible is relevant for today. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. So, Daniel's convictions are now going to be seen for what they are. Now, we read that he wasn't going to defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies. Now, let's remind ourselves, what laws in Israel would Daniel have been under according to Old Testament law? Was he to eat no meats, some meats, or all meats? Where was the line for Daniel? Some meats. Now, before I put this up, let me ask you this. Where is our line today, just so there's no confusion? All meats, that's wonderful. I like it. If you don't believe me, just look up 1 Timothy 4:3-4. All right, I mean, you don't need to do that now, but I'm just saying that's where it is. All right, so that's today's line. But Daniel's line was back here, wasn't it? Daniel's line was some meats, that is the clean meats. Now, notice what he does, though, when he inquires of the king. Verse 9, God brought Daniel into favor with them, and he says he doesn't want to defile himself, and chief of the eunuchs says, look, I like you and everything, but look, I'm not going to put myself in jeopardy, because if you end up looking deficient and the others are doing well, it just might come down looking bad on me. So Daniel says, verse 11, or verse 12, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And then let our appearance be examined before you. Now, I want you to think about this. Daniel's line was a line of some meats. Daniel was allowed to eat some meats. But when Daniel proposed this test to the chief of the eunuchs, he did not say, "Give us the clean meats." He said, "Give us no meats." Interesting. And it makes us ask the question, why would he back off further than necessary? Instead of just saying clean meats, why would he back off and say no meats? And there might be a few answers to this in terms of, you know, not wanting to burden the kitchen staff with figuring out clean meats and not. But perhaps the more interesting reason is, suppose if you imagine a buffet setting, which is, I think, in some of the dorms in the colleges today, which is why people put on the freshman 15, because they just have so much food out there at these colleges. But anyway, imagine this buffet, and they have various meats and vegetables on the buffet. Could you imagine Daniel going up? How would he know which meats to choose? Because, first of all, you've been to buffets. Sometimes the meat's not recognizable, right? You talk to them, "Do you know what this is?" "I don't know. Could be," and you're picking it up and looking at it from different angles. But even if you knew what meat it was, you don't know how it was prepared, do you? You don't know what else was mixed into it. You don't know, for all you know, it's been offered to an idol or whatever. But all kinds of things could happen to this meat that makes it difficult to keep the line of some meats, right? It's murky. You find it difficult to keep it. But if you do no meats, then are you keeping it? Yeah, you definitely are, right? Now, it seems that Daniel's decision, first of all, it was a decision he made ahead of time to restrict himself more than the law demanded. Apparently, in order to be sure to keep God's law under these difficult or confusing circumstances. Now, Daniel, in requesting no meats, had a bright line. No meats is a bright line rule. Now, this brings up a question. What does a bright line rule mean? Lawyers use this term, by the way. Lawyers like a bright line. Here are two rules. You tell me which one's a bright line rule and which one's not a bright line rule. Eat a sensible dessert. Bright line or not bright line? No. Eat a dessert having at most 200 calories, assuming that these desserts are labeled with the number of calories on them. Is it a bright line rule? Yes. Now, here's a puzzling question. Which rules are better for us to live our life by? It's not an easy question, because the answer is most of the time we don't want the bright line rule, right? Could you imagine living your life by bright line? That would be terrible, you know? Every time you meet a person, within the first 7 seconds, extend your hand. Then handshake for more than 2 seconds, but less than 6 seconds, because it just gets weird if it's too short or too long. You will then make sure to say your name at least twice during the conversation so that they can remember. You know, how silly would it be to live your life by bright line rules? We live our lives using rules like the top one almost always, right? You know, I mean, be nice to people. It just, you know, somebody was looking for marital advice. He was getting married. He was in our assembly. He went to all the married guys in the assembly. Said, you know, I want advice on, you know, marriage advice. So a fellow in our assembly said, "Yeah, don't be a jerk. That's my advice." And that was it. It wasn't exactly a bright line rule, though, but it gave the principle. And often in life, bright line rules are not the best. Since, well, they're inflexible and they don't adjust to various circumstances. But sometimes a bright line rule is very helpful, a conviction. So let's look at Daniel and his no meat rule. It was a bright line, wasn't it? Now, under the circumstances, of course, was Daniel's rule a safe line? Meaning that if he kept that bright line rule, is he certain to keep what God really wanted of him? Yes, he would not be eating unclean meats. Now, do you think that Daniel imposed that rule on himself always? The answer is no. It was likely for a finite time. You know, one time Daniel was second in command. I'm sure at that time he could order and say, tonight I'm going to have lamb. Here's exactly how you're going to prepare it. He could call the shots. So I don't take this as being a lifelong thing. I think it was in the moment of crisis, in the moment of need, he employed this bright line rule. Now, this is an important one. Was it determined at the moment or was it determined ahead of time? Determined ahead of time. And my nephew's going off to college this fall. He's not even my own kid. But I'm worried, you know. And I've sat with him, down with him a couple times. Poor guy, he didn't volunteer for this. Hey, you want to go out for Starbucks or something? He's like, okay. You know, and I've done this to him a couple times. Once I actually bought him a whole meal. But anyway, but basically, my message to him is, there are a lot of situations you're going to find yourself in that you can make your decisions about ahead of time. And you better do this. It's a luxury given to you to know ahead of time what decisions you're going to have to make, so that in the moment, you don't have to try to figure out what your decision's going to be within 7 seconds. You're in a situation, they say, oh, yeah, this, oh, okay, what about you? If you know the situation's coming up, you can plan for it ahead of time and know where you stand ahead of time. And it's very important to do that. Remember, a prudent man foresees the evil situation, the dangerous situation, and prepares for it. So if you, again, predict and prepare, or whatever you want to call this title. All right. Determined before the Lord. We won't apply this so much to Daniel, but we're going to need it later. Determined for oneself. Daniel was not preparing an edict for all Israelites everywhere to not eat any meat. He was in his own situation. He knew that's what he needed to do. Now, it was scripturally based. And what I mean by this is, did the scripture say, thou shalt not eat any meat, to Daniel? No. But it was scripturally based in the sense that he did know what scripture said about eating unclean meats. And because of that, he made his bright line in order to be safe to keep that. Okay? All right. So we're going to try and bring this out of the book of Daniel and into our lives today. Because we need to guard ourselves against the dangers, the wiles of the devil out there with bright lines, against those wicked things out there known as crossword puzzles. So why I have the crossword puzzles? There is a dear, dear sister in the Lord. She is elderly now. She wasn't always elderly, interestingly enough. But she loved to do crossword puzzles, and she was really good at them. She'd do the hard ones and everything like that. And she was also very heavily involved in the things of the Lord. She was always doing prison courses. She was grading. She was visitation. She would go read books to the blind so that they would have somebody to read them to her. She filled her days with great things to do, but she loved doing crosswords too. And she found if she wasn't careful, that doing crosswords could just consume her day. So Are crosswords evil in and of themselves? Well, no, but we have the general biblical principle that we want to lay aside things that would hinder us in our race. So she made a rule for herself. She said, look, these crossword puzzles can consume my day. So she decided that she was going to put a limit on herself of one crossword puzzle a day. That was her limit. What do you think of that decision? It might be a good decision for her. I want us to go through the same list that we looked at for Daniel for her in crossword puzzles. So her one crossword puzzle day limit, was it a bright line? Yes. Was it a safe line? Yes. She wouldn't consume her day if she only did one a day. Now, could it maybe have been for a finite period of time? I think so. She's very elderly now, and I hope she doesn't listen to this. She's mildly elderly now, but spends her husband's with the Lord, and she spends a lot of time indoors now, and not getting out. She doesn't drive or anything like that. So, I didn't ask her, but I could imagine that she doesn't have the rule now, and who could blame her? Did she determine it ahead of time? Yes, she didn't get to the middle of the day and do one and then say, oh, should I do another one now? No, it was already decided. Was it determined before the Lord? I take it was. Was it determined for herself? Or do you think she was running around trying to legislate to everybody else that they could only do one crossword puzzle a day? No, she wasn't. This is just something between her and the Lord. Was it scripturally based? Yes, just on the principles of how we use our time and so on. Right? Do you understand how in certain circumstances, even though we don't normally live our life by bright line rules, in this case, a bright line rule was of a help to her. Right? And of course, we can think of bright line rules for other areas of life. I have a bright line rule for alcohol. My bright line rule is that I don't drink alcohol. I abstain. It has helped me tremendously. When I'm in situations and work situations, social, work things or whatever, and some, there's alcohol. Oh, Craig, you would you like a what? Oh, no, thanks. I don't drink. Well, usually I just say no thanks. But anyway, if it just comes up, oh no, I don't drink. And there's usually not a problem with that. Nobody ever says anything. They don't give me a hard time or anything like that. But it's wonderful. I never need to know when to stop. But that's my bright line rule. And it's something that has served me well. It's definitely a rule I recommend, but I know that the scripture is not does not have that rule written in it. Actually, I'd rather not get into the subject, because if I start to say something about the subject, people will think that's where I stand on it. And where I stand on it takes a long time to describe. So I didn't say anything about it, all right? We'll go on. I didn't say anything. Physical boundaries and relationships. Do you think that this might be a situation where it's good to have a bright line rule ahead of time? My friend of mine back east, who's actually the guy who gave me this, the general thought of this message of bright lines and so on, he was talking about this, and he's an engineer. And he also got himself kind of trapped in his words one time, because he was talking about what happens in physical relationships. You know, you're not married yet. And he said, if you're making these decisions at the time, and there she is, and he starts getting in this web of a story that he can't get out of. So, he's an engineer, so he's like, there are these forces, and that's all he could say. But his point was a very, very good one, right? You don't want to be thinking at the moment of what might be a good idea here. What might be a God-honoring idea here? You don't want to put that off. You want to predict and prepare, or you want to live deliberately, or you want to have a conviction that will work, a bright line conviction. Now, he's married, but his bright line conviction before he got married was that he and his wife would not kiss. and they wouldn't kiss until the wedding. He didn't share this with people, but he said somehow all his friends knew it. And he's not sure how they came to know it, because after he's married, his friends are like, well, Daniel, you didn't kiss till you got married, And he's thinking, well, how do they know? And he figured that at their wedding, because they were all at the wedding, he thought, well, at the wedding, our kiss must have been so bad that they just, oh, this must be the first time. Anyway, so, but young people going to college and so on, there are areas you know you're going to get into situations with, whether it's an area of what, you know, parties that people are going to invite you to, or a situation where somebody's going to offer you a drink, or a situation where you need to have pre-thought physical boundaries in with regard to relationships. These things you better think about ahead of time. You better think about it. Proverbs, again, the prudent man foresees these situations and prepares for them. I had a bright line once with TV. This is back when you actually either watched TV or you did not watch TV. You were either watching TV or you weren't watching TV. Now, everything's muddled. You know, a phone, there's a little video. Oh, somebody texted me a video. I mean, are you watching TV or not? It's all a big mess. Well, back then you... And so it was taking up too much of my day, and the rule of I should watch less TV just wasn't cutting it. So I had a bright line rule. I said, I'm going to watch no TV for a year. The challenge kind of made me, made me try and do it. And I made it. It was kind of turned out to be kind of a legalistic thing after a bit. You know, I'd be walking through a store where they had like a TV on here, and I'd just kind of be, because I had to make it a year. Anyway. But it doesn't just have to, bright lines don't just have to be in negative things. They can be in positive things too. So in the area of giving, for instance, we can, in our family, in talking about finances, we have a minimum amount that we will give every week. It's for a finite time in the sense that we can think about changing at any time and so on, but it's a nice thing. It's a nice bright line rule before the Lord that we think, well, we can go above this, but I mean, unless some very disastrous situation happens, I mean, this will be a minimum that we can give. So a personal conviction like these that we're describing can be helpful in areas of weakness, and sometimes even in good areas, like in the area of giving. So remember, the Christian life is not a set of rules. This is important. The Christian life is a relationship, of course. But there could be a few key areas where such personal convictions, such bright line personal convictions, can aid us in our Christian walk. So I have a couple of questions for us to think about. The first one is there an area in your Christian walk that could benefit from this kind of personal conviction? A bright line, personal conviction thought about ahead of time. So that's one question to think about. Now, the next question I think I'm kind of happy about, because I think it's a real telling question. Have you ever developed such a personal conviction? And what I find is that younger people, and maybe less mature in the Lord people, will more likely have the answer no. They tend to not ever want to back away from what is lawful in Scripture and say, you know what, for me, I'm going to try to hold a bright line conviction back here because for my situation, I think it's needed. And tend to find the older believers, more mature believers sometimes, say, yeah, there have been areas in my life where I've seen, look, I could benefit from such a bright line. Even if it's pulled back a little bit from what the Scriptures themselves demand, but in areas of personal weakness and areas of just in our personal lives, we're all different. There are some times when we we could use something like that. So I pray that these things will be helpful. Be like Daniel. See the situation. See the danger. Prepare ahead of time and make a bright line when you're in dangerous situations like that. And these convictions can serve us well. Our Father, we thank you for an example like Daniel. We thank you that you remembered him when he was there outside of his home country and trying to be conformed to the image of what Babylon would have him be. And yet he stood for you in that foreign land. We think about all of us here. We think about the young ones in particular, that we would develop personal convictions that are good and right and appropriate for us. And we know that these personal convictions may be different from person to person. People are different. The weaknesses are different. The situations we find ourselves in are different. The environments we're in are different. But we pray that before you, individually, we would pray about situations where we know danger is coming, and we would be able to be prepared ahead of time and know where we're going to stand on these things. We ask in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.